Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio Show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. And fun topic today, we're celebrating the 70th anniversary of a Humane Society of the Pikes Peak Region. 70 years, Gretchen Presley.
I have not been here that whole time, I'm just going to be honest.
You just want to clarify?
Yes.
That's incredible.
Super great milestone. Yeah, we are so excited that we have been here in the Pikes Peak Region for 70 years now.
Now, are you guys doing a big celebrate? Because we're going to talk about the timeline and some, and we're also going to do some trick or truth, dispelling some common myths about the history and stuff like that. But are you guys doing anything to celebrate the 70th anniversary?
So it happened towards the end of the month. So we have an all-staff meeting later on in the month. So we'll be doing a big celebration with our staff. We're going to be asking on Facebook for, I want to make kind of a happy 70th anniversary HSPPR video with some of our alumni. So we'll be asking for videos from our wonderful happy alumni in their homes soon on our social media. So stay tuned for that. But we'll have little things going on where the community can help us celebrate. And we'll of course have some videos of dogs eating cake because that's pretty much mandatory for a celebration.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Kitties wearing little hats.
Exactly.
And, you know.
So stay tuned.
Right. And who doesn't love cat videos? Apparently people can just sit on YouTube all day and watch cat videos.
I mean, I know I can. That's pretty much my job, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, Gretchen, we're so glad you're here. So let's talk about kind of the history, the timeline of the shelter. So it was, HSPPR was incorporated in 1949.
So October of 1949, which is why we're celebrating all month long. And it was towards the, I think it was around the 21st of October that it was incorporated. So we're just calling this our anniversary month and celebrating all month long, because why not?
I think that's a great idea.
But, you know, I always say to people, if you grew up here and you haven't been to CSIA since, you know, the 1990s or even the 1970s, or, you know, you hear stories from your grandparents, we are pretty much a brand new shelter from what we used to be. Everything is so, so different. I mean, here we built the new shelter, the very first shelter, in 1950. So that got expanded and expanded and expanded over the years. But in 1955, we took in 5,300 animals.
Wow.
So you can see we have quadrupled the number of animals we took in since 1955.
Right.
With that many new additions, we've needed new shelters and more room throughout the years. So we did a new shelter that I think was in 1962 the first time. And then we broke ground on the building we have now in 1999, moved into the new building in 2001. Then, of course, did our big expansion that I remember, first one I remember, in 2016. So we added on the Cat Adoption Center and our admissions and lost and found, and, of course, expanded our ALE into the back, into the old nursery building. So much bigger. We're now handling, in 1990, we handled 21,000 animals, and it's been roughly around there since the 90s.
Wow.
I think we were at right around 25,000 last year. So, staying busy, of course.
Yeah.
We have the space we take in the animals, seems to be. But
with the expansions come the programs too. All the expansions and the programs, because some of the programs that have started over the years are incredible.
Exactly. So I'm not sure exactly when our volunteer program started. I think we always had volunteers whenever we made the official program. But you know, now that we have more room for our fosters, we're sending over 1,000, sometimes close to 1,500 foster cares into foster homes now. Whereas some of these old reports were saying about 400 a year, even back in 2001. So obviously all of our programs have gotten so, so much bigger. We opened our surgery center in 2009. So again, if you haven't been to CS since the early 2000s, we had no staff veterinarians. We had no way of treating medical issues. For the last 10 years, we've been able to treat so many amazing medical cases with the help of our amazing staff veterinarians. We also started our TNR program in 2009.
And define for everybody what TNR is.
So TNR is trap, neuter, return. So if you don't know what that is, if you just kind of see cats around your neighborhood.
They're feral,
Right, don't really belong to anyone, but they are doing just fine. They're not sick. They're just kind of hanging out. We have special cat colony managers that feed them occasionally, but they'll trap them, bring them to us. We spay, neuter, and vaccinate them to make sure they're healthy, put them back in that neighborhood, and it actually creates this, I know, little vacuum where no more cats come in because they're guarding that area, but then they're spayed and neutered and vaccinated. So it just increases the overall health of the stray cat population in Colorado Springs.
Right.
And these guys, again, are mostly feral, so they don't want to be in your home. They don't want to be your friends. They just want to be living life happily outside. And this program will help make sure there are no more of them after time,
right.
And then that they're as healthy as possible and not spreading diseases to the rest of the community.
Yeah, and it was so funny when I told Gretchen, I'm like, well, you know, we have a colony here. And she's like, oh, yeah, I know. Because on the Caradio property, we actually mm-hmm. have, although it's been the kitties versus the raccoons lately. I don't know quite yeah. who kind of won that one. Yeah, so, I mean, it's an incredible program. But like you said, there are some cats that just want nothing to do. They mm-hmm. just... let me be free.
Exactly. They've been raised wild. They basically are raccoons. They're just cats. So yes. They don't want to be in your home, but this way they can still be happy and live their outside lives and, of course, not be reproducing and spreading disease in the community.
Right.
So, super exciting there. Of course, our expansion that I already talked about was in 2016 that allowed us to take in more pets or at least, you know, better care for the ones we're already getting because we're pretty much constantly full. Also really exciting, our behavior program started officially in 2017. We had done scattered cases before then. But
this is really a chance to assess the animal mm-hmm. and help them.
Exactly. Exactly. So very, very exciting stuff happening. Again, always say if you haven't been to see us since the 1990s or even before, or even 2001, we're a whole different shelter.
Well, the facility in itself is absolutely amazing if you haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. We're so big now. I get lost, even me, wandering through it.
Running through. I remember when you gave me a tour after everything was open and done, and I was like, I'm so confused right now. Because it's so big.
It's like a college campus now. We just have rooms everywhere and dogs everywhere, but it's wonderful, and we've made so many changes, again, for the comfort and health of the people and the pets.
Yeah.
And we wanted to make it comfortable for people coming in, both making hard decisions to relinquish and also to adopt. We want to make it pleasant, but you know, we're here for the animals, and so everything we do is about them, and we want to make sure they're as comfortable as possible, happy as possible while they're with us.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk trick or truth, actually, and it's like some throughout the history of the Humane Society, I'm sure some stuff has happened or said, and it's like, no, that's actually not true. So we're going to play Trick or Truth when we come back. Also talk about some upcoming events and more celebrating 70 years. HSPPR is here today on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Humane Society of the Pikes Peak Region is here. Gretchen Presley is here celebrating 70 years of helping animals in our community. Gretchen, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having us. It is always a pleasure.
Well, and the one thing we are going to do today, and I mean, I say this positively, you kind of schooled me in the break, which is, you know, and a lot of people need to hear this. We're going to do trick or truth.
Mm-hmm.
So dispelling some common myths, and this has happened with HSPPR and also it's with other humane societies across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really good for folks to hear and understand and how all of this has evolved because mm-hmm. that is part of the history of HSPPR.
Exactly.
Does that sound perfect?
Exactly.
By the way, for those of you wanting an update on, I forgot to mention this early, the Steel City Kitties, we're going to have that. I know a lot of folks have been asking about that. So let's start with trick or truth. The first one, trick one, we don't, that the HSPPR does not try to reunite stray pets with their owners.
So that one I hear a lot, actually, that we don't scan for microchips, that we, you know, adopt them out right away. We don't hold them for the time. And the truth of that trick is that I actually often refer to our missions and lost and found team as detectives because, I mean, a number of resources they pull to try and find these pet owners is just phenomenal. We'll have pages and pages of them calling any phone number they can get a hold of, sending emails, sending letters, anything we can do.
Going to lost and found groups, I'm sure, on
exactly.
like Facebook, stuff like
they
that.
They monitor
yeah.
all the lost and found groups. They monitor Craigslist. So we do everything we can to get those pets back. And it's I always kind of laugh that people think it's just very simple. I lose a pet, you get it back. And a lot of times it is. If the pet is properly microchipped, tagged, you guys, you know, every pet owner I know has pictures of their pet on their phone. You can come in, identify.
Oh, wait, looky. Exactly. You have it here, so you look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait.
I can show
there
you tons of cats.
There we go. There's the doggy on the phone.
But in cases where maybe the ownership is a little murkier, for example, he came in, his microchip is registered to a certain family, but they gave him away 3 years ago and then he was passed to a different family, or maybe he got lost at that time. So we get the dog in and the microchip is leading us back to this family who says they relinquished him to this family, and we call them and they say, oh, yes, that's my dog. But then other people come in and say, wait, I've had that dog for a year because they got out and there aren't appropriate owners and now that's mine. So we have to sort out the legalities
yes.
of who does this dog actually belong to according to the law. And so it's much more complicated than some people
right,
think.
Right, like, oh my gosh, like you didn't write.
Mm-hmm.
And then for legally also, there's only a certain amount of time legally
mm-hmm.
that you or other animal shelters across Colorado have to hold up a stray.
That's right. So the legal limit is actually 3 days, and the vast majority of our pets, our internal, I guess, standard is 5 days. So we'll hold them for 5 days before making any evaluations, decisions, anything. If we have had no contact from owners, we have no leads, we have nothing, we have no microchips, tags, anything, at the end of those 5 days, they'll be assessed and most likely put up for adoption or transferred or any of our other means of saving lives. If we do have leads, say an owner has contacted us, but you know they're out of the country and they're trying really hard, we'll try and work with them a couple more days, try and get their pet back to them as soon as possible, because that's really our goal, is to get
right,
pets
absolutely,
get home.
Oh yeah, reunited exactly. with their yeah, absolutely. Okay, and this one, and you and I kind of talked about this. This is trick two, that HSPPR euthanizes animals if they've been with you for a long time, and I have to say, in the past, I thought mm-hmm. that was the case,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think a lot of people think that, but no. I mean, after speaking with you, you know, year after year, I know that's not the case.
Absolutely not. And as we were talking during break, you know, animal welfare as a whole has advanced so very much, even in the last 10, 20 years. I hear stories from, again, the early 200s, and that was the case because
yeah.
shelters were just full, and it was more of an animal control mentality of, you know, we're taking in so many, we're getting them off the streets, we're euthanizing them, getting them out of the public, and then the few choice prize animals would go up for adoption. And that's so far from the case at this point. I mean, HSPPR, every program that we just talked about, our veterinary clinic, our surgery center, our behavior program, our TNR program, every single one is to save more lives. And we are so fortunate that at this time, we have so many resources in place that we can use to get these guys ready for adoption. And so, you know, again, before we had a huge veterinary clinic, if an animal came in with just even a minor disease, we probably wouldn't be able to treat them. And in that case, it was more humane at that time to euthanize, or it was more humane to euthanize rather than have them sitting very crowded kennels on top of each other for months at a time. But as it is now, with the programs we have in place, we can run them through our system super fast and get them out. And so it really is, we do not have to euthanize for time or space. It's all about the quality of life of the animal.
Right.
So as long as that quality of life stays high, they will stay available for adoption, and they will get out of there as soon as possible.
Now let's go to trick three. And this one, I think I've seen posts about this before too, like that folks say you're part of Humane Society of the United States. Is that kind of a controversial kind of organization?
It can be. I mean, they... how I explain it to people is they're kind of a national organization. They do a lot of lobbying and laws. And so they're the ones pushing for all the laws that create better laws and for animals, mm-hmm. Making sure there isn't animal cruelty, making sure there are ways to prosecute when there is. The local independent nonprofits that exist, they sometimes get grants from these organizations. We are a transfer partner for the ASPCA. So if they are helping with a case of, I remember when I first got there, we got in 6 Malamutes because they had been a big raid on a Malamute thing. And so they called out to all of their rescue partners, hey, who can take these? And we ended up with 6. So we help out some groups like that. But I know some people think, you know, there's this big umbrella of the Humane Society of the United States, and then all the little humane societies are branches of it, but that is not the case at all. We are completely independent, local nonprofit. We have nothing to do with HSUS. We can't influence them. I can't get you their calendar. I've been asked that before.
Can I get the calendar, please?
No, that's not something I can do. So yeah, just very important that, you know, when you donate to the Humane Society of the Pikes Peak region, that donation is staying local. It's staying here. It's helping out the animals in your region, not on a national scale.
Okay, we do need to take a quick news break. We will come back more with Gretchen Presley, Humane Society of the Pikes Peak region, next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Good morning. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we're talking with Gretchen Presley from the Humane Society of the Pikes Peak region, who is, by the way, not you, but HSPBR. Said of its 70th anniversary.
70th, yes. Yeah, so super exciting. Again, I haven't been there all 70 years, but I have been there the last seven, so it's something. And I can definitely tell you, we have changed so much in the last 70 years.
Yeah.
We are doing so much more than ever before. So we're pretty excited about celebrating our 70th this
year. Absolutely. And just talking about, you know, the changes and the evolution actually in animal welfare,
mm-hmm.
not just here, but across the country, is eye-opening. There's still some areas that are of the country that are, you know, struggling.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like you said earlier, it's a national movement.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, of course, we talk to shelters all over the country. I'm in a bunch of groups on, you know, social media management for shelters. And it's, we're definitely saving more lives than ever before countrywide, which is amazing to see. And then, of course, the trends in animal welfare are moving towards more national partnerships as well. So we have a really robust transfer program where we're taking in animals from Southern Colorado and New Mexico and Louisiana mm-hmm. when they have too many that might be at risk for euthanasia at their shelters. Whereas we have the resources to treat even, you know, heartworm and really minor things. We can treat those up here. So really it's about moving the animals to where they're most likely to be adopted, which is really phenomenal to see.
So let's talk about, and this is controversial all across the country. It has been controversial, and it's been controversial even in Denver, but they're actually stepping, and I know you can't comment on that because you don't know, but bully breeds.
Mm-hmm.
There has been this focus on, oh my gosh, you ban all bully breeds, and oh, we're going to pass legislation to ban all bully mm-hmm. breeds, but HSPBR is actually never, and I think there's been a misconception about that, even when it was going strong in north mm-hmm. of us. I think HSPPR has always said, no, we are not mm-hmm. going to propose any legislation like that or anything, right?
As far as I'm aware, when I started, our statement was always that public safety is, well, public safety is one of our number one priorities. Then, you know, dangerous dogs can come from any type of breed. And so we do not support legislation that would be breed specific because that really doesn't address public safety. We need to be supporting legislation that addresses dangerous dogs and dog attacks and things like that, not breed-specific legislation. And so, of course, at the Humane Society of the Pikes Peak region, every single animal and dog is treated as a complete individual. So we look at everything. We have breeds because our system makes us, but really, breeds don't really factor into our treatment of the animals. We look at their temperament. We look at, again, their quality of life, everything like that. And that's what we encourage everyone across the region to do.
Yeah. And I know, like you said, you can't comment on, but I think they're actually stepping back from up north of what they had put into place because mm-hmm. they realized it just wasn't benefiting.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't helping, actually.
And so we're fortunate here in Colorado Springs that we don't have any breed-specific legislation. I know that a lot of places to live still do, mm-hmm. or they have weight limits. So it is challenging, a little more challenging to get those types of dogs adopted out because of that, because of individual homeowner restrictions. However, again, we treat everybody as an individual. We don't look at breeds at all in our evaluations, in our numbers. We just want to make sure we're doing the best we can for every single animal.
Now, let's talk to you about adopting. Oh my gosh, literally, Gretchen, like, it's fascinating to see, again, the amount of animals that come through the shelter and the amount of animals that are adopted.
Mm-hmm.
It is incredible. Still, you're about annually over 20,000, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But some do say, and this is one of the tricks or truth, that HSPPR overcharges for adoptions. And please go ahead. I was going to jump in there, but I'm go ahead.
So we hear this a lot. I also hear, you know, oh, if you lower your prices, you get more animals adopted. And I can tell you from personal experience that those that we call them variable priced puppies, and those are ones that are very young puppies, great, you know, really desirable by people, and we usually have them charged more than or priced higher than our other dogs, and that's for a lot of reasons. But one of them is, of course, that people know what they're getting with those puppies; they know they're willing to make those investments, and then also that helps us provide more care for animals in need of life-saving medical and behavioral intervention, those hard to adopt seniors. So I think our length of stay for puppies, once they're available for adoption, some of them might need to go through foster care, etc. But once they're available for adoption, is less than a day for puppies. So
it's incredible.
They get adopted so very fast. Our dogs do too. It's really those hard to adopt animals is what excuse those numbers. They're the ones sitting there for a couple weeks. And I've seen dogs for $25 that have sat there for 2 weeks. And so that's where I come in, and I do my best to help people know what the issues are with this animal, but how they can overcome them and get people to notice that animal. So that's a big part of my job, is making sure people are seeing these slightly harder to adopt animals that might have some behavior issues that we need to at least notify the owner about, maybe have some medical issues. Again, those heartworm positive dogs, whereas really treatable and they still get adopted, but maybe some extra thing for adopters to consider. Those are the ones that tend to stick around just a little bit longer. It's not the puppies. They get adopted very, very quickly.
Well, and I love how you put that, really. It is, you know, if you're investing that much into an animal, mm-hmm. you're going to take care of that animal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I never thought of it that way. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and it helps the future of other animals.
And you know, it's really, especially like our seniors. So we do the best we can to get them ready for adoption. We give them lump biopsies and dentals and everything, mm-hmm. and blood work. But they are seniors. And so we can never exactly expect what's going to happen. And so we know that our adopters are taking a risk with seniors, that they might have considerable medical problems, mm-hmm. along the way. So we want to make those adoption fees as low as possible to perhaps give them the money for other issues, mm-hmm. that might crop up later on that we weren't able to see at the shelter. So we just want to make sure across the board we're helping out the animals
Absolutely.
That need it and transferring that money where it can. So I also think a really interesting part of that is that one third of our revenue comes from that adoption those adoption fees. So that's a third of our budget is coming from those fees. So we really do need those fees to keep operating, keep everything going. Another third is through our contracts with local government. So our animal control, our animal sheltering contracts with Pueblo and Colorado Springs. And then a full third of our budget are donors.
Right.
And so they're contributing towards all of the extra programs we have, our behavior programs, our foster care, our volunteer, things not covered by anything else, not the basic bare bones of, you know, taking care of the animals.
Yeah.
So it's really, you know, I say it all the time, is the more resources we have, the more lives we're able to save. So
yeah, absolutely.
So thank you to all our donors.
Absolutely. Well, and Gretchen, you and I both know of people that only adopt the seniors. So mm-hmm. yeah.
They're my favorites.
Yes. Okay, we do have to take a break. When we come back, though, we're going to get an update on the Steel City Alley Cats. Also, what did you guys call your new rover? The wellness wagon. Wagon, like wagon your tail. Okay, we'll have more with Gretchen Presley next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Celebrating 70 years, HSPPR. Gretchen Presley from HSPPR is here. We have so much stuff to cover. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So I think we should start. Do you want to start with the update on the Steel City Alley Cats? Or do you want to start with Wellness Wagon or Howl? Halloween.
Well, the Steel City Cats were from Pueblo, so that'll lead nicely into the Halloween event in Pueblo. So
okay.
let's go with that.
So you want to start with the Steel City Alley Cats. Everybody was, let's give a quick background. They were at a shelter,
mm-hmm. So
an
they
organization.
Were an organization called Steel City Alley Cat Coalition, and on September 9th, our animal law enforcement team, with cooperation of the Sheriff's Department and PACFA, went in and removed 135 cats from that facility, who unfortunately were not receiving the medical care that they needed and were not being quarantined appropriately. Very soon after that, we took them into our facility, found out that quite a few of them, the majority, in fact, had ringworm. And of course, all of them had been exposed to ringworm. And I know it doesn't sound like a big deal. I mean, you know, we all had ringworm as a kid. But when you're dealing with animals in a shelter situation, it is actually extremely difficult to treat ringworm because
imagine.
it is very hard to kill. It is very, very contagious, and those spores will stick to everything.
Wow.
So normally for ringworm cases, we have a special ringworm quarantine ward where we can take the pets in, give them the lime sulfur dips, give them their medication, switch kennels. So it's very, very contained, is not in the rest of the shelter, very easy to deal with. Obviously, with 135 cats, wow, it was nuts. We couldn't put them all in our quarantine room. So we've had to, play it by ear a little bit. It was basically, this is the largest group we've ever tried to treat. So it was kind of, hey, we're going to try out some things. Let's see what works. So we've been giving them all lime sulfur dips. We've been cleaning their kennels as soon as they've been dipped, because once you kill the spores, if they go right back into a dirty kennel with spores, it doesn't do anything. You wasted your time.
Right.
So we've had, it's basically a 3 to 4 man job is,
to do one kitty.
Yes. So two people holding down the cat, handling, spraying with the dip, one cleaning the kennel behind them so they can go right back in. So it's a very, very large undertaking. But we were so excited that our first round went through all their treatment, came back. You have to do cultures. So you have to have 2 negative cultures before they can be deemed cured, quote unquote. So we had a very small group go up for adoption on Friday. So super excited about that.
That's awesome. I bet half of them are already gone, if not more.
I think most of them are already adopted, which is phenomenal. I haven't checked the exact numbers, but I know we had had an adoption before the end of the day of one of our kitties. And then we are looking to have more available very soon. We still have a lot
to get through to make sure all these kitties are
cured. And
of
course, it wasn't just ringworm. We're still treating, upper respiratory infections. We have a bunch on diarrhea protocol because they had upset stomachs and Giardia and such. So it's a lot that we're having to wade through on figuring out the individual needs of each cat. So please stay tuned. We're hoping to have updates for you very soon, but we're very happy with the ones we have been able to get into wonderful new homes.
Well, and I know some of them sadly did not make it, right?
Yeah, I haven't checked the numbers in a couple of days, but as of the 18th, we had to euthanize 4 and then 2 died on September 10th. So that was 6. And then we euthanized 1 more who was deteriorating very badly on the 18th. And so that's where we were as of late last week. I know we had a couple more in critical care that just aren't responding, aren't doing great. But I think some of them were hopeful that they'll be able to pull through. But it's not any one thing. It's multiple things.
Right.
It's prolonged chronic pneumonia that is really weakened their lungs a lot. Of course, the ringworm, which by itself not a big deal, but when added to a bunch of things, is just evidence of really, really poor, immune systems, poor health. So,
well, we're crossing our fingers.
Yes. Yeah, so we're doing what we can. We're hoping that we can get as many as possible out into wonderful new homes.
Okay, let's talk about Howl. Oween. Oween Pueblo. Tell us about that.
So really fun event that's happening at our Pueblo campus on October 19th from noon to 4. We are having a Howl-oween celebration, trick-or-treat event. So you can bring your kiddos dressed in costume. They can get some candy. The first 10 adopters will get their pick of a fun Howl-oween costume for their new pet. You'll get to chat and learn some tricks. Trick or treat.
Yeah.
Maybe even get some treats. With our behavior programs manager, we'll have a pet treat bar for some treats for your pet. So really good time. Of course, all adoptions come with the vaccinations, pet health insurance, voucher for a veterinarian exam, microchip. And of course, we're giving away free tags at this event. So
perfect.
Just a great way to come out, have some fun, find a new family member, talk to our behavior programs manager, maybe learn a trick or two for your dog. So just a really fun event to help kick off what we're doing in Pueblo.
Absolutely. So Halloween, October 9th from noon to 4. Okay.
October 19th.
October, what did I say? August?
October 9th, which is, we don't have enough time. No.
We don't have, 19th, oh my goodness. Okay, and I know we don't have this is so incredible, but give us a quick review of the wagon, the wellness wagon. Now, this is from a grant, an investment from Petco Foundation, $300,000, mm-hmm. and this helps HSPPR actually get into the community, doesn't it, and help animals mm-hmm. in the community.
This is a program we've really wanted to start back up for a really long time. We're so excited that we finally have the resources to do it. We do have our new wellness wagon.
Yeah.
This is for underserved pockets of the community, where there are certain pockets of our region where they just don't have access to veterinary care for their pets. There aren't any vet clinics near them. Maybe some of these people don't have the ability to drive very very far. Low-income families maybe don't have transportation. So their pets are not able to have that basic veterinary care. And that's where our Wellness Wagon comes in. So we're partnering with community centers across Colorado Springs and Pueblo. We'll be having vaccination clinics. We're hoping to expand into spays and neuters very soon. And so basically it's just everything that you can get at the Humane Society of the Pikes Peak region with our AHA accredited veterinary clinic will be on our Wellness Wagon. It's
That's
a
fantastic.
Full mobile unit, can take care of, again, spays and neuters, everything you need in a safe, sterile environment.
That's fantastic. And more info on the website?
Yep, website and Facebook page. You can see lists of all our events, and we'll have very many more coming soon.
Well, it's so exciting, Gretchen. And happy 70th to Humane Society of the Pikes Peak. We can't wait to see how you guys celebrate and stuff like that. Of course, like we said, kitty videos.
Yes, I mean, stay tuned to our social media. We'll have lots of dogs eating dog cake and kitties and
wearing hats and
yes.
Like that. Did you like that?
It was perfect. It was perfect.
Gretchen Presley, Humane Society of the Pikes Peak Region, thank you so much for coming
Thank
in.
You.
Coming up tomorrow on The Extra, Colorado Springs Mayor John Southers will be here. That's tomorrow on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.